Hello and welcome to Central Fellowship Baptist Church. This is our morning worship service for April the 5th, 2020. This is the Lord's Day, and we've come to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Also, today is a special day on the Christian calendar. This is Palm Sunday. This is where Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem, preparing Himself to die. And we're going to look at some of those different aspects of this last week of the Lord Jesus upon the earth. This is called the Week of Passion. Well, today we're going to begin by looking at our call to worship from the book of Zechariah. Notice what the Word of God says. Rejoice, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Lord, we ask today that we might experience your truth, the truth of the Word of God, the truth of the historical narrative. God, would you meet with us and speak to us today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Join us now as we sing together, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. This is a good way to start off our service today. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him. For He is thy health and salvation.
Praise to the
wonderful song. This morning, our service begins with this scripture from the book of Matthew, chapter number 21. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" Let's sing together the song this morning that is a favorite. It is an old one, but sung a little bit differently this morning. But think about the fact that we're leaning on the everlasting arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting. This morning, as our custom always is on the Lord's Day, we take just a few moments to look at a catechism. Right now, we're in the Heidelberg Catechism. The Heidelberg Catechism was put together in 1563 after the beginning of the Reformation period. And because the people of God were so ignorant of the doctrinal truths of the Word of God, several different confessions were put together, like the Heidelberg Confession of Faith. And they made catechisms whereby to catechize the people, they would have a question, a Bible question, and then they would give the answer from the Bible to that question. And so there's three sections to the Heidelberg Catechism. The first section, of course, deals with sin, the misery of man. Everything was perfect until man sinned and brought misery to his soul, misery to this world. But God did not leave us in our misery, but sent his only begotten Son. And that's where we're at right now, part two, talking about the redemption of man. Now, today, We're going to look at question number 37. Question number 37 has to do with the week that we're entering into this week, which is the week of Passions. The Lord coming into Jerusalem, riding upon a donkey, but before the week is out, those that were praising Him are going to be calling for His crucifixion. And so the question is this: what dost thou understand by the word suffered? Now, it's speaking here about the Apostles' Creed and about where it talks about Jesus suffered. Now, we must understand that the whole purpose of Jesus coming into this world was to suffer and to pay the price for sin. Here is the answer to the question, question 37. What dost thou understand by the word suffered? That all the time He lived on the earth, but especially at the end of His life, He, that's Jesus, bore in body and soul the wrath of God against the sin of the whole human race, in order that by His passion, or that word passion is suffering, that by His suffering as the only atoning sacrifice, He might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation and obtain for us the grace of God, righteousness, and eternal life. Father, we thank You this morning for this great truth that speaks of suffering, that speaks of Your passion, that speaks of what You went through in order to redeem lost man. Thank You for Your suffering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning let's sing together a great, great song, In Christ Alone. It says there, till on the cross Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on Him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. Amen. That's one of my favorite songs, In Christ Alone. Well, today we're going to read God's Word. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53. So if you have your Bibles there, if you would, look at God's Word with me. Verse number 1, Isaiah 53, 1. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of a dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken. And as for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet, it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief when he makes his soul an offering for guilt. He shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. May God give his blessing to the precious reading of his word, Isaiah 53. May we pray. God, we delight today in the suffering that you went through on our behalf. We thank you and we praise you for coming and doing the Father's will and coming to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Amen. A song that you might not be familiar with, but a song that adequately expresses God's love. Here is love. His love is vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood, when the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us His precious blood.
Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us His precious blood. Who is love will not remember? Who can cease to sing His praise? He can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal day. On the mount of crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide, through the flood
time for us now to look at God's Word. And today we're going to center our attention there in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 53. In fact, today we're going to look at one particular verse. But I'd like to begin this message this morning with this question. The question is this: why? Why has the book of Isaiah been forbidden for many, many years in the Jewish synagogues? It's a forbidden chapter. The 17th century historian, Jewish historian, Raphael Levi, he admitted that long ago, and this was in the 1600s, he's saying this, that long ago, the rabbis used to read Isaiah 53 in the synagogue. But after the chapter caused so many arguments and great confusion, the rabbis decided that the simplest thing would just to take the prophecy out of the readings in the synagogue. That's why today in Jewish synagogues, they read Isaiah 52 halfway through and then stop. And then the next time when they read from Isaiah, they skip 53 and go right into Isaiah 54. The reason why they skip that, the reason why it's a forbidden chapter is because it speaks of a suffering Savior. It speaks of the suffering servant, which they don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. That is, those that are unbelieving Jews that have rejected Jesus' Messiahship and do not believe that He was the promised one. But yet, in their scriptures, in Isaiah 53, we see that God prophesied through the prophet Isaiah that there would be a suffering servant, a suffering anointed one, and that He would die before He would be raised and before He would be the King and crowned one of Israel. Well, this morning, I'd like for us to look at verse number 10. Verse number 10 will be where we will just spend our time. We're going to look at five things in this verse. But before I read verse 10, in fact, this is a good way to read the entire book of Isaiah, or the chapter Isaiah 53, is you must understand the Father and the Son. Now, you're going to see many personal pronouns, and you say, well, who is that referring to? Who is that referring to? Each of those personal pronouns are going to be referring to the Father or the Son. For instance, let's look at verse number 10. Yet it was the will of the Lord, that's the Father, to crush Him, that's the Son. He, that's the Father, has put Him, that's the Son, to grief. When His soul, that's the Son, makes an offering for guilt, He, that's the Father, shall see His offspring, that's the Son. He, that's the Father, shall prolong His, that's the Son, days. The will of the Lord, that's the Father, shall prosper in His hand, that's the Son. Do you see there the delineation, the Father and the Son? Now, I've not got time to go back and point all of those out in chapter 53, but they're there, those personal pronouns that will help you to understand who it's talking about in the narrative here. There's five things I'd like to point out, and I'll highlight these phrases in the verse as a help for you to see. First of all, this morning, I want us to notice those words there, the will of the Lord. Now, what you see there, the will of the Lord, I'm calling the preordained plan of God. Here it says it was the will of the Lord. That's the will of the Father. And we know that the Scriptures teach us by comparing many Scriptures that God, before the beginning of time, as the Scripture said, before the foundation of the world, He had preordained this plan that His Son would come into the world and that he would die for sinners. It speaks there in the book of John, chapter 17, Jesus' high priestly prayer. As Jesus is talking to the Father and talking about, Father, that which you planned before the beginning of this world, this preordained plan of God. It was the will of the Lord. Now, this is talking about Christ suffering. Christ coming into the world, Christ suffering, Christ dying upon the cross for sinners slain. Now, what it means here is that God did not send Jesus on a mission. The mission went terribly bad, wind up getting himself crucified. No, friend, this was the plan, the preordained plan of God. Many different secular writers and even secular songs and secular plays, like Jesus Christ Superstar, talks about Jesus being a wanderer, not understanding for what reason he came into the world. And you know, he wound up being a martyr in the sense that, like people today die for a cause, maybe they didn't plan on it, but things went bad, crowd got angry, and before you know it, they have hung somebody up. That is not what took place. This was the preordained plan of God, that Jesus would come, as Isaiah says here, 700 years before Christ comes to the earth, that he would suffer and that he would die for his people. Notice in verse number 10, there's two phrases I want you to see, and that's the words, crush him and put him to grief. That's the second thing that I want you to see here. Penal substitution. Penal is the word that means to punish or to cause to suffer. We get our penal institutions, prisons, a place where people go and pay for the crimes against society. Penal means that a person suffers substitution in the place of another. That's what this verse here teaches us. Isaiah 53, and of course, all throughout the Bible, teaches us in the Gospels about Jesus, in the epistles about Jesus, in the doctrinal books, that Jesus, he paid the price as a substitute. Penal substitution. The Father crushed the Son. What did the Son do? What did the Son of God do to deserve that? He was being punished as a substitute. We're the ones that should have experienced the punishment. And as it says there, put him to grief. The Father put the Son to grief for our sin. Penal substitution. Do you see it there? It is oh so clear that God had a preordained plan, and that will of the Lord was to crush him, put him to grief in the stead, in the place of sinners like you and me. Every sinner that will put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe upon him, he has promised to save them, to save you, to save me. Well, as it goes on there in verse number 10, there's a third thing I want you to see highlighted there in that third line, when his soul makes an offering for guilt. His soul makes an offering for guilt. Whose guilt? Well, that third thing, this is a sacrificial offering. Jesus is the offering. He is the sacrifice, as all the Jewish people understood from their earliest days in their homes, that they would take a lamb, They would segregate that lamb from the other sheep and lambs, put it up for a few days. They would inspect that lamb to see if it had any sores, any problems, any disease, and if it was worthy, if it was clean, if it was one that could be used as a sacrifice. All Jewish people understood this growing up in their home, that they would take the lamb, they would slay the lamb, take its blood in a basin, take some hyssop, was like a weed, and dip that, and they would use that as the sacrifice, the sacrificial blood, like on the day of the Passover, when they took the blood and they applied it to the doorpost of the house. That was a sacrificial offering that was made. And when God saw the blood applied to the house, He would pass over. Because this offering, it was an offering, as it says here in Isaiah 53, Jesus was making Himself an offering for guilt. God the Father gives His Son as the offering for you and me. Praise the Lord for that sacrificial offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then fourthly, would you notice there, it says that He shall see His offspring and He shall prolong His days. Now, Jesus, we know, died. He was buried. But that was not the end. The Father raises the Son from the dead, prolongs His days. That speaks there prophetically of the resurrection. Jesus came to do a work, then to die, then to be raised from the dead. Well, we know that that was an appointment, that was an assignment, that was a plan, it was the will of God, just like you see the will of God at the first of the verse and the will of the Lord there in the last of the verse. He came to complete His mission. And the question is this, was it successful? It says there in the last phrase of verse 10, that God would see to it that His will would prosper in His hand. That He would be successful in coming, completing, and then saving. Yes, the plan of God to save sinners is not a failure on God's part. God saves sinners. Everyone that He says there in John 17, Jesus said, Father, everyone that You have given Me, I have saved, and I will save, and I will bring. I've not lost a one. A complete mission, a successful mission. Many people look at God and His plan and His Son and His death, and they say, oh, isn't it so bad that God cannot complete His mission, cannot be successful in His mission. Oh, friend, don't think that way. He is successful. He is saving sinners. In fact, the Scriptures teach us in the book of Revelation that from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every people group, there are those that God has saved and is saving and will save till the end of time from all peoples of the earth. Yes, He is successful in His mission. And God sees to it that it will prosper. The Lord's work will prosper in His hand. The question is this morning, what about you personally? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Has God saved you? Has God changed you? Has He regenerated you? Has He birthed you from above and made you a new creature in Christ? Today, I pray that you will take the word that we've looked at today, the Scripture here, and see that Jesus died a suffering sacrifice for sinners. Are you a sinner? Would you believe upon Him today? Would you call upon Him today? Turning from whatever you've been trusting in, turning from profession, turning from religion, turning from good works, turning from all that you have been holding to in the past, and throw yourself at His mercy and ask Jesus to save you. Call upon Him today. In these next few moments, as we close our service, we want to turn our eyes upon Jesus Christ. We want to turn our eyes and look upon this suffering Savior. Believe upon Him today.
Jesus,
we're glad that you've joined us today for this morning worship service. Unusual, not like our normal church services. But during this time of uncertainty, we'll be continuing to bring a message each Lord's Day to be a blessing to our church family and to others that want to look in and be a part. Well, today our benediction comes from Isaiah 53. And we want to look at this scripture, verse 11 and verse number 12. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. That's the Father. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. God bless you today.